88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
What we do is really hard. This is a great episode for new listeners. We're just talking about ourselves for a minute. But what we do is really hard because we're not in the same place. We don't really have like a problem that we solve. We're an entertainment show.
Yeah.
And so we have to compete with Forza Motorsport video game on Xbox One. You know what I mean?
They still making Xbox Ones?
They're still busting out Forza. My point still stands. We're not going up against, we think that we're going up against Catholic Answers, but we're not. We're going up against Joan Rogan because we're in the entertainment category. Welcome to The Crunch, the only Catholic podcast. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Welcome to the only Catholic podcast. You're so low in your chair. You got to come up.
It's because I'm so low. I was going to say it's because I'm so low in my life, but I'm actually doing great. So it's kind of hard for me to say that I'm low.
Also, I think we're flipped.
We are flipped. Hold on. Let me fix it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Wait, hold on. Wait, I think you messed
it
up.
No, put me back.
Let me fix it.
Fine.
Oh, wait.
This is great. This is great for our majority audio listeners. The video.
Yeah.
We got to do some. I need to have a meeting with you. I got some problems. Geez. I have some deep.
Oh yeah.
I've developed a yearning, Patrick.
Patrick, we've gathered here. We just have a few letters we'd like to read you.
Yeah.
Your inability to respond to emails has harmed me on multiple occasions.
That is true. That is a fact. The fact that you don't read emails and then blame me for why people don't schedule hotel rooms or flights for you has really upset me over the years.
I never did that.
Sometimes you would do that. Back in the day, you'd be really? Like, how come they didn't schedule a flight for us? And I'd be like, if you read the email, they would say that they don't cover flights. And you'd be like, how do they expect me to read the email? And then I would not reply.
The email they sent to me.
I would not reply because it would incense me so. But you've actually grown in many ways over the
time. I
think we've both grown tremendously.
That's hopefully. Otherwise, our family is in trouble.
I have an issue. I need to tell you.
Yes, sorry. We have a meeting about something.
No, it's a meeting. So I've been reading a book. There's a book here. It's forward by Mr. Beast Jimmy Donaldson.
Oh, good.
It's called The YouTube Formula.
I'm sure that book is completely up to date.
Yeah.
Huh? How's
it
that?
It came out like last year, so it's fairly recent.
Okay, so
I don't think there's anything.
I'm just kidding. No, it's fine. I
think anything that's about fundamental principles rarely goes out of date. I think people like to clown themselves into thinking that that newer is better, which is not always the case.
People like chasing trends. People,
yeah.
Social media management company that I know locally just posted like pictures of electrical panels for my friend. For his electric business, they posted pictures of electrical panels to the tune, and the audio playing was "Hot to Go" by Chapel Roan. And
by
I was
Rochelle
like, "That's
Rochelle.
Gonna do it." Yeah, and by Dave Chappelle Roan, and she's like, "This is." I was like, "That's not gonna do what you think it's gonna do, my friend."
I don't know what Chappelle Roan is. Can you tell me, please?
You don't know what "Hot to Go" is?
Mm-mm.
HOTTOGO. Yes.
I know about that song is on the Tim Dillon podcast. He was getting mad at her for trying to make a point about politics instead of singing her song. So he was he got all riled up and he goes, it's H-O-T, not P-A-L-E-S-T-I. And he spelled out Palestine. it was really funny. So that's all I know.
Of that girl who tore down a bunch of flags at a Greek sandwich shop because she thought it was the Israeli flag.
That's pretty funny. I know, right? See that. No, I'm not. Let me finish my thought. I'm reading this book and I got a problem with you. I got a problem with this whole operation. Okay.
Oh boy.
We got to be better. We got to be better on all fronts. You and I have been communicating. You and I have been communicating in the DMs. We're getting better in some areas. I think our YouTube channel severely under neglected, but I think we can fix it. And I think all it's going to take is a little bit of work. I think you and me could become we could actually give people content that they actually want about Catholicism online instead of what we're doing now, which is whatever this is, you know?
I think we could become the first Catholic YouTube channel to reach 1 million subscribers, except for Ascension Press and Bishop Barron and Mad Fred.
And EWTN.
Really? They hit it? Nice.
Oh, yeah, they did. Or at least they're close. I don't know.
I don't actually think Mad Fred hit it. I'm actually ashamed that it's taken those mega organizations that long to hit 1 million.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed.
I think it could be us. now that I know the YouTube formula. So this is funny. So this book is interesting. The guy who wrote it, Daryl Eaves, he is a YouTube analytics guru, like from way, way back. Like he got his start in 2007. You know what I mean? Like he's an old head. But he founded a marketing firm. And he was the one that wrote the ad for the Squatty Potty. There was like a unicorn apparently that pooped ice cream, and it went incredibly viral, and they sold like $30 million worth of product because of that ad. So, and like this was in 2011 or 2012, which is just, he was ahead of his time, right? So he's legit. Yes. He also, as I'm reading this book, and then I get to this section, and he goes, the ultimate influencer, Jesus. And I was like, what? I don't want to read this if this is what he's going to say. Turns out he's one of the guys that had founded The Chosen. This was like, it was his project. Yeah, so he got super big, made all this money, and he was like, I'm going to do something that I really care about. And then he funded The Chosen, or like helped crowdfund do the whole thing, which I thought was pretty cool. So now
that
I'm
must
like,
be why their ads are so great.
Exactly. Now like I instantly trust
really like
everything in this book
campaigns.
Way more. Yeah. So I think we should use it, and I think we should become The Chosen for Catholics. I think we should become the chosen of podcasts.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes?
Yes.
First things first, we're getting you a new camera.
It's a cord issue. You understand this.
That's what they told me when my son was born.
Nice. Cam link. Here we go.
I can't wait for you to come back on screen. I miss seeing your cherubic face.
What the heck is wrong with this thing?
You had a week off. You could have fixed it. What did you do instead? You came crawl. Oh yeah, there was. Did you survive? Did anyone in your family lose life or limb?
We didn't even lose power, dude.
Nice. So you could just were just watching Bluey and chilling. So you were in the hurricane.
Yes, I was in the hurricane. The hurricane came right through. This is the camera now. You're just going to have to live with that.
nobody cares except you. You're the only person
I care so much. I'm having such a hard day.
You care so much. You didn't do anything before today to try and fix it.
I thought we did fix it.
Oh yeah, that's true. And then there was a hurricane. So you're excused.
No, I tried. I thought putting this book underneath the, it's one of those things that's got to stay in the, you know what I mean? It's got to like stay in one position.
Those temporary iPhone charger fixes that always result in having to get a new charger or get a new phone. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't understand. Like, never mind. Whatever. We're talking about the hurricane. Hurricane was fun. Had a great time. Next topic.
Oh, wow. You got so mad about something else, you didn't even want to podcast with me anymore. That's a bummer.
So frustrating. Anyway, we had a really great time.
Let's unpack that.
Our friends.
Do you feel like the failures of your equipment are a reflection of the failures of yourself in your
no.
life? I don't believe you. You are capping my man.
Imagine
your therapist just goes, you are capping my man. And then you have to tell
like,
him the truth.
We've been doing this for 8 years. And
who?
We.
The royal we?
You and I?
Yeah.
Have been doing this podcast for 8 years.
Yeah.
One would think
surmise, if you may,
one might hypothesize that two individuals of certainly nothing less than average intelligence would well, be
not,
able to
not much
out,
more
would be able to figure out how mm-hmm. to use equipment. Mm. You know,
mm-mm.
it's just it is. I hopefully this doesn't come through on the podcast as often, but I was thinking about this today. I feel like we should be further along than we are. Slash, I feel like I should be further along than I am. Like together and separate, I feel this way.
Where do you want to be that you're not?
I don't know. I I think that I maybe have grossly underestimated the amount of time it takes, or the amount of effort at least it takes to make something like a podcast like this really great.
Yeah.
You know,
what we do is really hard. This is a great episode for new listeners. We're just talking about ourselves for a minute, but what we do is really hard because we're not in the same place. We don't really have like a problem that we solve. We're an entertainment show.
Yeah.
And so we have to compete with Forza Motorsport video game on Xbox One. You know what I mean?
They still making Xbox Ones.
They're still busting out Forza. My point still stands. We're not going up against, we think that we're going up against Catholic Answers, but we're not. We're going up against Joan Rogan because we're in the entertainment category. And so it's a problem. It's really hard because we have to be not only as entertaining as other entertainers, but we also have to be as high quality at things like writing and scripting and camera and posting and social media, like all the things that are excellent mm-hmm. with everybody else. We also have to be excellent at those things, and we both have jobs and children and very little capital. And so
yes.
it's like,
yeah,
and we can't afford to do it. We don't have the time to do it all ourselves, which is normally how people like us do it, is they bootstrap it until they make enough money to hire it out.
Hire people, yeah.
So we're kind of stuck in the middle. So which means it just has to go slow. But I would say that this podcast is probably responsible for more of your and my growth than anything else we've done in our lives, because we have
probably.
Each other, we have a community, we've tried to learn things, we've failed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So don't count your chickens after they've hatched and you've squashed them with your truck.
That's not a saying. I keep looking at that camera.
Oh,
staring down the barrel at you, the viewer. Did you see that? the chick from Wicked that's playing the green one? The one that's not Ariana Grande?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So they made the Wicked. You're familiar with Wicked, the musical?
Isn't that what they have in cricket? You gotta
that's
hit
a wicket.
The wicket. What do you
wicked.
Do? What's it's wicked. It's Wicked the musical. It's just a bunch of Indian guys. Okay, I don't. Yeah, so I've heard of Wicked. I know
that
it's a musical.
I was gonna do like an Apu singing "I'm Defying Gravity."
I think it's good
decided.
That you did it.
I'm really glad that I didn't do that.
it's about, have they ever done, did Dairy Queen ever do the Blizzard of Oz where you could get like a Wizard of Oz inspired?
I'm
blizzard?
Certain they've done that.
That would be great. So it's the Wizard of Oz and it's the Wicked Witch of the West and her fairy godmother, and Shrek is there and he's the green, and he mates with the witch, and that's how they get green.
She comes down in a bubble. Are you telling me I'm wrong? So the Wicked Witch of the West in the movie, the musical poster, they're like, their faces are hidden. It's like mm-hmm. swoopy hat covering her eyes, and then like Glinda's going like this, and so you
Glinda.
Can't really see their faces. And so yes, the Good Witch. I was a theater kid. All right.
My grandfather's name is Glenn, which is just really funny to imagine him as a witch, as a nice witch
in a bubble. And
if
so
Glinda
Ariana
had a bush
Grande,
light in her hand, then it would be accurate.
So Ariana Grande and the other one, I don't know her name.
Yeah.
Someone, they have a movie poster, but it's similar to the theater poster, but you can see their faces because Ariana Grande is famous. We want people to go see the movie, and someone edited it so that it looked more like the musical poster with the swoop and covering the faces. And the girl who played the Wicked Witch of the West got pissed. She was like, this is erasing me. And as an actor, this is the most offensive thing I've ever seen. In the original, I'm staring down the barrel of the camera at the viewer. And
that's what she said?
Acting is about forcing emotion. Yeah, that's what she said. And yeah, it was, I was like, if anything, who cares? Your face does nothing because no one really knows who you are compared right. to Ariana Grande. Maybe people do know who the I think her name is Cynthia is. Maybe people know who that is. Tell us in the comments if you know who Cynthia is.
That's great. I appreciate you explaining that to me.
You're welcome.
I'm glad I know more about Wicked the musical now. The point is that you're staring down the barrel of the camera. The point is that we were talking about growth.
Yes.
Yeah. You were talking about how you feel like you don't feel like we've done. You feel like all of your time that you spent with me has been a waste of time.
No, I feel like.
But I know you love me.
I feel like there is more. I feel like I've left some of it on the field, you know?
There's more meat on the bone.
There's more meat on the bone. Like Schindler's List, I could have saved more. I could have recorded more podcasts. Like Schindler's podcast.
It's not over. The podcast is not, we're not ending the show. It's not like we're actually just getting started if you think about it.
I look back on the days of yore and I go, Patrick, if you had just known at the ripe old age of 22, what I know now at the riper older age of 27, then how much greater would the podcast be, you know? People care about this show a lot and they pay us money.
They do.
And people buy courses from us and they follow us and they pay us with the most valuable thing they have, even if they only pay with their attention, that's still their time. It's the only thing non-renewable resource. They pay us with that and that's awesome. And I just want to give them something that's so much better. And so I'm glad you're reading the YouTube video. But I also have to feed my family. And so there's so many other more important things that I have to do because right now the podcast does not provide for 4 people.
Yeah. Well, that's the catch
22. And 8 people. Congratulations, by the way. Happy.
Oh, thanks. Happy birthday. Were you going to tell me happy birthday?
Happy birthday.
yeah. No, I appreciate it. Emma did it and I was there. And it was great. You know, having 2 kids is easy. I don't think anybody, obviously for the women, it's hard, but as the guy, if you did the first one right, you're already used to not getting any sleep and you're already used to like picking up the slack and doing what you can, where you can. And so with 2 kids, you just kind of do that also, you know?
Yeah, and the cool thing is when you compare the two, it's like, oh, this one, I just put her down.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's like,
yell at me. Yeah. He actually just drifts off in my arms pretty often, you know?
Yeah.
And it's nice, comparatively. This is why people have babies, is because they're like tired of the other ones, and they're like, I want one that falls asleep in my arms again.
if she's hungry, she eats. You know, it's not like Leo where he will refuse to eat his taco unless he's laying down. We go, hey, take a bite of your
Peter
taco.
Had for...
He goes, no, lay down.
Lay down. I get that, though.
And he got down. Sorry, one baby story and I'll stop.
You're good.
But he gets off his tower. He gets off his like eating tower. And he's like, no, I'll take a bite, but I got to lay down first. He like goes, gets situated, lays down on the pillow on the floor. Ah, mm-hmm. Leo, this is... Fine, whatever it takes you so I can get to the podcast on time.
Who among us has not gotten a cheeky Taco Bell at 2 a.m. and eaten it on the floor? Who among us?
Who among us?
Peter, this morning for breakfast, usually we feed him sausage. We have frozen, fully cooked sausage links in the freezer from Costco. You heat them up, take 30 seconds, cut them up, get him a little syrup on the plate. He eats a couple. This morning, I heat him up one. It was more sausage. I get him another one. Eats it up. More sausage. Get him another one. He ate 8 sausage links for breakfast. It was insane.
Dang.
I know.
Impressive.
It was It was actually crazy. I couldn't believe it. And he was just giggling and laughing. I'm like, are you hiding them somewhere? Like, what is happening? It was pretty cool. I love having kids. Again, you keep getting me off track. Oh yeah, providing. I think here's what I will posit to you. So this is something I've been thinking about. I think our capacity for work has grown greatly in the last 2 years. I think you and I have learned a lot about how to prioritize our time, how to invest in things that have a good return for our families, how to put ourselves in positions of success. We've learned all of these things through failing and suffering greatly. So in my mind, that's a huge advantage that we have over other people that do what we do. We know what it means to work. We care a lot about this thing. We have a community that cares a lot about us. And in addition, we're constantly, because of our day jobs, we're constantly learning how to do what we do here better. Mm. So it's just kind of incidental. Like we're getting better at these other things because of our day jobs. And then we just can implement them over here. And like your social media stuff, it's like you're learning how to do this with the Instagram videos and then we just kind of do it here. And it's not any extra work, but it's just like, oh, I'm going to take this best practice. I'm just going to start doing it because I learned it. And that increases it by 1%. And I think if we just made a plan, you and I just had a strategy session and we made a plan. Oh, think of the things we could do. Think of the things we could accomplish. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes in life, you know? It's just to make a plan. It's just a strategy session, a SWOT analysis.
We are all one strategy session away from a multi-million dollar enterprise.
Oh, I don't think we're going to make millions of dollars doing the crunch, but I do think that we can reach a lot more people than we can, than we are currently.
My unironic dream.
And I think that's good.
This is my unironic dream.
Tell me your dream.
I want to take what we learned from the crunch and build an incredibly successful social media business.
Okay.
And take charge people to, you know, do what we did for the crunch, but for them, and they make money, right? So it's like a really valuable thing. And then I want to do what Jeff does on the Beatitudes. Just have a podcast that is just a good thing that we do for fun, and it makes enough money to like compensate us, but not, you know.
Yeah.
It makes enough money to like run itself, you know?
Yeah. But the problem, that's just way down the line though. You know,
yeah.
You can't have the fun podcast until you have the money, the podcast that makes all the money.
The money podcast.
Yes. I think this is good. I think it's fine. I think we're in a new era. We both have new children. We're both in our new ventures in life. I have organized my office for the first time. I got bins. You should see the bins I have up here on my
shelves.
I would
love to see the bins.
Well, I can't because of the camera. It's attached, but it's up there. And
are you using the camera? The fancy camera or the Logitech?
No, it doesn't work. I told you this last week, but you weren't listening because you were frustrated about your own camera. Or
no,
2 weeks
ago. I thought you may have fixed it.
No, it is beyond repair.
What?
The port is broken. Oh. So the only way that we could get video from that camera into the computer is through this micro HDMI port, and the port itself does not output any video, regardless of the cord that is used. So maybe I could get that fixed somewhere. I don't know how to get a port repaired on a 10-year-old camera.
Yeah.
You know? So in my mind, it's like, I should get a new camera, probably, that doesn't have that port and has a different way of exporting video for a webcam.
All right, well, dang. Sucks.
It's neither here nor there. What I want to talk to you about, what I want to hear your thoughts on, is I want to hear about why you care. Why do you even want to be great? Why does it matter? Aren't we all just going to die one day?
That's a good question.
Become a husk?
I don't know.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
Ethan, I'm running into a bit of a problem.
Again?
I accidentally introduced my son Leo to television and movies. Uh-huh. And it's so sick because he wants to see Jungle Book so bad. He asked me like, Jungle Book? And he's so cute and I want to show him Jungle Book, but I also don't want him to be addicted to television for his entire life. Have you experienced this yourself?
Yes, my son really loves Peter Pan, and so every day it's see Captain Hook, want to fight Captain Hook. So we are deep in the minds.
Same
of,
boat.
In the grip of 1930s Disney films.
They really got that stranglehold.
They do.
I was thinking, you know, I was talking to Phoebe, is like, what are some ways that we can, you know, kind of, because it one way to go is like, I'm going to cancel out digital stuff entirely, but you know, it's unrealistic. I want to like set up rules and stuff for my family, like some kind of structure that we can use and stick to.
Sort of like a code to live by.
Mm. Are you familiar with any place that I could get such a thing?
Or a find Benedictine monastery.
Yeah, right. A rule of life or something. Do you happen to know anyone who's had 16 children and could help me out?
I do. There's a guy named Connor who actually wrote a book about this very thing, if you can believe it. It's called The Well-Ordered Family. And contained therein is the Well-Ordered Family Management System. So it takes out all of the guesswork, all of the confusion, all of the how do I know how much time and energy put into this? How do I make sure that we got this taken care of? How do I invest for my children's future in more ways than one? It's all there in the Well-Ordered Family, which I really appreciate.
Nice. And I believe they sent us a discount code for our our viewers. They can get 50% off the book.
Is that true?
Is really, that's a really solid discount, actually. So
hold on.
Go to wellorderedfamily.com.
I'm going there right now. Yeah.
If you go to wellorderedfamily.com, you put that book in your cart, and you use the code CRUNCH50, you'll get 50% off the book, which is great. You can go through the system, check it out, and then see what Connor has to offer.
Yeah, go to wellorderedfamily.com, and up at the top, you click Get the Book, and that'll take you to the book purchase page. Oh! And then coupon code CRUNCH. I'm applying 50. It right now. CRUNCH50. Thank you. CRUNCH50. And, oh, look at that. I just got 50% off. So my book just went from $24.95 USD to $12.47. So
huge. Wellorderedfamily.com. Take advantage of it now. Thanks so much to Wellordered Family for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. It's why, I mean, like we have conversations about this podcast with people who listen and it helps them and it changes their life and helps them become Catholic and all those good things.
Yes.
And I also think that big Catholic, like big church right now has no room for people that aren't like safe, you know? I think that the church right now needs more things like this. Like people that aren't tied to an institution that can, because people that are tied to institutions inevitably, like, they have to be careful what they say. We talked about this where like Father Mike and Bishop Aaron can't really say what they really think, because you know, if it all goes away, everyone that works for them loses their job.
Yes.
You know? And so I think we're in a good place. And like, I want to grow this podcast to the size where it's like just before that, you know?
You don't want an institution to lap us up.
I don't want us to become an institution.
How could we ever become an institution? We're barely holding on.
Precisely.
You know?
This is all part of the plan.
I feel like you've been doing a lot of thinking while I've been away, and I feel like you haven't shared any of this with me. This is all new. I'm getting this all for the first time.
Well, I mean, I've been thinking about what I want the crunch to do and what, you know, not problem I want to solve, but like,
what if there were two of us and we could solve this problem together?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And I think like the way that we talk about apologetics, the way that we talk about faith, the way that we talk about evangelization, I think is fresh and not, it's not like the cookie cutter responses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not specific. I think more so with you specifically, the way you talk
with
about
me.
Dating. Yeah, I think like the way you talk, yeah. Like the example, the way you talk about dating is not mm-hmm. the orthodox,
yeah,
you know, opinions. It's not the Jackie Francois talks. No shade. Like it's not the
lots of shade.
It's not the Jackie Francois talk. She's very nice.
She is great.
And then say, what's happening? Legitimately, what's happening? It's like I'm clicking the button to turn it back on, and it's not coming back on. All right. So at least we know it's not my port. Whatever.
I don't know what it would be then.
I know. Genuinely confused. If any,
so
you know,
think? So you think I give a fresh perspective that other people don't give?
This Catholic podcaster serves up dating advice the old-fashioned
the old-fashioned way.
The new-fashioned way.
That's pretty good.
And I think that our conversations about evangelization are somewhat different than maybe like you get from Catholic Answers or even from Focus, you know?
Uh-huh.
I think the Catholic Answers apologetic style is very formal debate. It assumes, you know, a coherent position on the other side, whereas our approach to apologetics does not assume a coherent position on the other side.
My position's barely coherent, so why would I assume that someone else, like, I know that I believe whatever the church teaches, but I can't articulate it expertly because mm-hmm. I'm not, frankly, because I don't care to. Like, I know that the church is right, so I'll talk to someone, and if they expose a hole, it's like, yeah. All right, I'll just go figure out what plugs the hole and then come back. There's no stress involved, but I feel like the Catholic Answers guys, they always are about to, a hernia is about to burst because they're like, they're trying to remember all the verses and the quotes and the magisterium and the thing. And they're on the microphone. They're very serious. Thank you for your question.
Yeah.
No, thank you for your question. I would rather you.
Talk about Pope Honorius, you know, but it's, you gotta see through the, BS there. You know, you gotta see through the, They heard that dunk from their pastor and they're handing it to you, and it's not about the dunk. You know, it's not about the dunk. It's not about this specific, you know, I was listening to that Caleb Hammer podcast. He's talking to this guy who's like given a million reasons why he can't get a job.
Mm.
And Caleb's like responding like, well, actually inflation's not that bad. Well, actually the job market's like this. Like, it's like, it's not about that objection. It's about this guy will never admit that he is in control of his life. You know, it's like the same thing is like, it's not about Mary. It's not about the Eucharist. It's not about purgatory. It's the fundamental facts. Like, this person will not admit that Jesus Christ, even entertain the idea that Jesus Christ established the Catholic Church specifically. Right. And so like, that's our approach to apologetics. I think that's good. I think that's fresh. And I think it's not new, but I think it's effective. And I do think that I have insights on apologetics that are valuable. And I feel like that's backed up by the response to those insights being posted on the internet, which is like they've gathered traction, and I want more time to think about those things and write about those things and talk about those things with you and post about them on Instagram. Like, I want more time to do that.
Do you feel like I'm holding you back? Should I just let you go? Should we just quit the show so that you can go be the free bird that you've always wanted to be?
That's not even my point. That's not my point
at
all.
We change the name of the Instagram to be Patrick Nevy's Evangelization Power Hour.
I genuinely think that if you were like, we go back, I would joke about, we go back and forth about, we go back and forth on who's the more in the podcast person.
Yeah.
And I think if we didn't have that, our podcast would have ended a long time ago. Like, if it was me or just you, this podcast would have ended in 2019. Like, let's be real. Not even 2018.
That's true. Yeah.
You know,
true. 2018, somewhere around there. It would have,
I would have like gone through a breakup and just stopped the podcast.
Yeah.
Stopped everything. Yeah. You know, it's like that, but like, I think that our partnership has allowed me the space to make those things. And it is, I am glad that, you know, I've been, the threads are on X and on my X account and not the Crunch's, because I think it allows the Crunch to be its thing.
Right.
Instagram is apologetic stuff, really, but that's,
which is fine.
It's fine.
I'm actually in a place where I think it all kind of had to get shifted out of the sieve, the sieve. Mm-hmm. The sieve. How do you say that word? S-I-E-V-E.
Yeah.
Is it sieve?
Sieve?
It's Adam and Sieve.
Not Adam.
And it's just Adam panning for gold in the Garden of Eden. Anyway, I don't know how to pronounce that word. If you have a PhD in prospecting,
in
please
philology.
Give us a call.
In
the Discord. In So I think we had to shift it all out because you like and enjoy making the Instagram videos. I think some of them are fun. Overall, making a video every day gave me so much anxiety, stressed me out, was not something that I like to do. I like writing emails. I'm good at writing emails, as evidenced by the results of this week. I'm enjoying myself. Get a little notification. Someone buys a course. Wow, that's because of an email I wrote. That's so cool. That makes me want to write more emails.
Yes.
You're good at the social media thing. I'm doing it also, but in my own way. And I think we're figured out like a nice little deal there, right? Where
I will say,
works.
I think the secret for me was I was doing it daily too much. Couldn't handle it.
Too much.
Doing it weekly, I'd have a week of posts, a week of no posts. I'm like, I'm sitting down. I'm doing a month worth of posts every month. That's what we're doing. Do a month all the time. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And then you can just click in and click out. I think it's great. I want to start making what we make every week better for YouTube, a bit more intentional, a bit less random, still retaining the things that we love, but making it less haberdashery.
The haberdashery? You
know? Yeah. I think I can script that. I think I can plan that for us and set us up for success in another domain. So I think it's like we both have different interests. And I know it can work because there are podcasts that are way bigger than ours with people that are in two different places that are entertainment podcasts or even informative podcasts. I think we do a lot more with guests. I think we can, there's just many, many things that we can do. But it's not, to me, it's not about like getting famous or making a lot of money. To me, it's like, I want to, I want to share with people that they can be like normal and cool and funny and not be, it's like we live in a min-max generation, you know? It's either I'm going to be everything about Catholicism, which means I'm a weirdo, or I'm going to be nothing about Catholicism. Like people can't, like Pope Francis says something and they're like, I just can't do it anymore. I quit. I give up. Or they see Pope Francis say something and they're all in the other direction, right? Like I'm going to be the most trad person of all time. And then there's people out there that are Catholic, but not really, you know? So I guess it's not really a min-max, but people min-max their experience of the faith so that they don't have to do anything more than what they prefer or anything less than what they prefer. And I think we can find a place where it's like, all right, we pray the rosary every day, but we're not like weirdly posting about it, you know? Yeah. Like I think there's a world in which you can like be a devout, pious person without forcing it on other people, but also without not sharing it with other people. Like there's a beautiful little confluence here that you and I can find, and we can also not be afraid of things that are worldly. I watched the movie Alien Resurrection the other day. Horrifying. It was so bad. It was actually one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Well, it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So Sigourney Weaver, I don't know how to say her name, but she is in the first three Alien movies. She dies in the third Alien movie. And then the fourth Alien movie, which is Alien Resurrection, is 200 years in the future. And they find her blood from the third Alien movie and they resurrect her. Oh. And so it's the same actress, but it's a different character. And she basically gives birth to a alien human hybrid that then gets sucked out of an airlock through a hole about this big, and you just see the whole thing. Like, you just see the alien get sucked through a hole that's about this big, and you, and it just like dwells on the alien for a long time as it's like screaming. It was just like, it was a very disturbing scene that I was not a fan of. But I like watched that movie, and I didn't feel the need to be like deeply reflecting on the morality. It was like, oh man, that was weird, and like, it's crazy that they put that in the movie, and that's like funny in a way.
Yeah.
And I think that's the right approach, you know? Like, I don't think the approach should be, what is this, what is the alien human hybrid signify about the you know? But I also don't think it's insignificant, because I think it's funny. The fact that it happened means something. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? Like, there's a world in which we live that you and I see better than everyone else, and that means everyone should give us money to listen to us talk.
Hold on. So you're saying that I am the alien baby.
You're the alien, and I'm the hole, and I'm...
I'm going right through you, baby. Out into space.
Out into
the great beyond. Shoot for the moon.
I'm going to take your skin. Oh, I'm going to take your skin. It's not important. I don't know what I was saying, but
it just is. I think you just saw Alien Resurrection. You wanted to talk about it.
Talk about it. Yeah, that's all right.
I've been trying to work in my Halloween costume for the last 25 minutes.
What are you going to be?
We got Halloween costumes today. Phoebe's going to be a pumpkin. Leo is going to be a pumpkin. He decided. He said, I want to be a pumpkin. And Josie's going to be a pumpkin. And I'm going to be a pickle.
A pickle?
I thought it'd be funny for me to be something completely different. I thought it'd be funny for everyone in my family to be a pumpkin and for me to not be a pumpkin, as if I missed the memo. Like, they have a group chat without me.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Everyone's going to think you're Larry the Cucumber from VegTech.
Oh, yes. That's what I'll be. That would have been funny if Phoebe was still pregnant, we could make her Bob the Tomato.
You know what I'm going to be for Halloween?
Linguini from Ratatouille.
Nothing. I'm not a child. Thank you. Moving on.
Dang. Ethan, help. I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
Yeah, I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. And I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk. Instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends, Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data. Even if they 100% disagree with you, even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor. Correct. Web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Cringe. I was actually thinking about this on my walk earlier. And I was like, you know what would get people really riled up if I posted this on X? Takes
walks. Would you have a little snack?
I was taking my son on a walk. I was pushing him in the stroller. What do you want from me? I was like, if I posted this on Twitter the week of Halloween, it would get everyone really mad at me. But I wanted to say, the only men who dress up for Halloween are the men that make less than $100,000 a year.
That's so funny, dude. That's so funny.
It would make people so mad, dude. I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, that would be really funny, but I can't do it.
That might do peanut butter airplane numbers.
You think so?
Yeah, that's one of those things where just people would get so pissed.
Yes, I might do it.
You should post it.
I think it'd be really funny.
I'm gonna quote tweet it. I'm just gonna lay into you. be like, I've seen this. I run a business with this guy. He makes less than $100,000 a year.
It's not even like in defense of my position. It's just like a thing that I think will upset people.
I think it is true, though. I don't think it's.
I can just see the comments. I can just see Katie McGrady leaping out of bed to crawl into my mentions and argue with me about how. So do you hate fun? Is my husband a bad husband because he makes less than $100,000? It's like, yes, he is. Like, that's probably what do you want me to say? I said what I said. Oh, man. I'm not going to do that. Well, that's good. I'm glad we had a nice reflection on the podcast today for the podcast.
Me too.
I'm worried that you're going to quit and you're going to leave me in the dust.
No, I'm not going to quit.
Okay, cool. Me neither.
You should not operate out of fear.
Too late.
Should not too operate late. On a fear mindset. Actually, no, I do not want to quit the podcast. I do love doing this podcast.
It's weird. I can't even make a joke about operating out of fear because I'm just not. Like, I'm actually probably in the most confident and collected headspace that I've ever been in my life.
I only said that because you said you were worried about me leaving the podcast. I was like, why? I haven't said that. I was going to.
I know. I'm not. I'm genuinely not worried about really anything. Like,
you could just do the podcast with James. He would do it.
Hello. I saw James.
Yeah. Had a great
time.
How was that?
Great time with him. James McCann in Tulsa. It was wonderful. We went to dinner. He hurt his shoulder. So the whole time he was talking about how much his shoulder hurt, which was pretty funny. And then we went to the show and he has not enough material for an hour yet in America. But the material that he did have was very good. And he read some of my favorite poems.
Did he read Splish Splash?
A lot of the he read Splish Splash. He read The Japanese Man. It was very good, but a lot of people didn't get the poems. Like he read Marlon Brando 9/11. And it's an interactive poem where he's talking about different things and he's saying whether they're 9/10 or 9/11 in like a philosophical way, right? Jay-Z, 9/10. Drake, 9/11. You get it, right? It just makes sense.
I don't, but...
Things that have... I'm trying to think of another example. Tom Cruise, 9/10. Timothée Chalamet, 9/11.
So is it like this
it's,
thing...
It's not... No, but it's not... But Marlon Brando, the actor, is 9/11. Right? So it's not necessarily something that's old and something that's new. It's like something that has a pre 9/11 feel versus things that have a distinct post 9/11 feel.
Yeah.
You get me? So he was trying to get the audience to interact with him and like shout things out. I said Kanye West, he said 9/12, and that got a big laugh. But nobody else was shouting things out and I felt bad. So I was like, oh man, they're not getting it. They don't get his bit. I felt really bad. I couldn't do anything. Couldn't save him, but it was a great show. It was a great time.
I'm sorry, by the way. I just about what? I know the camera's not on.
I don't care.
I wish I knew, dear viewer. I wish I knew why this was happening to me.
This
today.
Is probably going to be one of the worst podcasts we've ever done. In all honesty. This is the fact that you can't stay focused when your camera goes off and just carry on. The fact that we talked about ourselves for 45 minutes. and we have to cut out about 20 minutes of it because you were trying to restart your browser. I think this is good. I think that people need to know to have low expectations for us for at least another year. And then we're going to break through in a big way.
We're finally going to win. Then we're finally going to win the, oh my gosh, we're finally going to win the pennant.
Yeah. I can only think of it as positive for both of us. Cause if we have a vastly successful podcast, that's only good for you and for DE and for the other stuff you're doing. It's only good for me and BVM. Like, we should just try to do it, you know? It'll be good for our families.
I think there's no reason why we cannot do this.
Yeah. Other than our own. Jerome Tang, the head basketball coach at Kansas State University, said something the other day. He said, there's no glass ceilings. It's just paper ceilings. And you can just punch through them. And I was wow, that's so true. I've been thinking about that.
Also, you can punch through glass. Glass is extremely fragile.
Fair.
Should
we do the dating corner? Okay, what? Go ahead.
I like what you said about working hard, because I do feel like my capacity for work, and I do feel like my I do I think my I don't feel I think my capacity for work has increased, which is saying a lot because I do still waste a lot of time. Maybe I'm just more cognizant of wasted time now than I was before. You know, like
why
how
I can't
long...
have Instagram on my phone, dude. Instagram kills me. I had no idea that you were making videos every day because I just can't.
I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought that was the whole point of the audio message you sent me.
No, well, so I have like a month's worth of scripts and I just need to film them. The reason I haven't filmed them is because then I need to edit them.
Yeah.
And I know that if I film them and then don't edit them immediately, they'll just go away.
Yes.
Like they just go in my camera roll and they go away forever.
Yep. I gotcha.
Anyway. But yeah, so it takes me like maybe 5 minutes into when I realize that I'm wasting time and I start getting anxious and I'm like, I gotta stop.
I just have too many meetings in a day to waste any time. Like probably half of my day every day is meetings. And so it's like the stuff that gets decided in the meetings has to get done at some point, and I have to do it outside of the meetings or else it doesn't get done. And so that is Emma doesn't like it. She's like, you just are in meetings all day. And I'm like, yes, but that's actually a good thing. You don't understand. Like things get done in the meetings and then I have to do things outside the meetings. So there's no time to not do anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's actually a wonderful system. But, yeah, man, I've been getting up at 4 a.m. with the baby and I've just been staying up. It's the best. 4 a.m. to 7 a.m.
Get so much done.
I know it truly. Just write an email.
For real.
Write an email. Click send on MailerLite. The worst email editing platform that there is. I try to backspace and it deletes a whole paragraph.
Yeah.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
It's I cannot tell you how electric it felt to wake up every morning and write a Twitter thread and then just have it like every day was just another dinger. It was so good. And knowing when it went out, it was going to be great. It was so good to get to the point where like I wrote something and I knew it would hit and it did. And it was like, it felt so good. Cause before like the first couple of weeks of doing it, it was like, maybe this will work. Maybe it won't. And then when I finally figured it out, but now I just need to do it again. You know, I just need to keep doing it. Cause it's, you know, just, you find something that works, then you stop doing it. That's the funny thing. It's like you find other things get in the way, but they're obviously less important because they don't work. Anyway, thank you for listening to
that.
Our stream of consciousness.
I want to have that with you forever, man. I want to keep doing good stuff. What time are your meetings tomorrow? My wife is texting me. I will let you know later, honey. You want to do the dating show?
Yes, I need to pee really
bad. We can wrap up this self-serving, stupid show.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to our self-aggrandizing Catching Foxes-esque episode. Again, no one gets that reference anymore either.
I know, because nobody listens to them anymore.
We all fell off so hard.
I know. I'm a broken man.
Remember the glory days before COVID? COVID really killed our brand, our side of Catholic podcasting. It just lost.
That's true. It just didn't. Gosh, we should have pivoted into being political commentators.
Yeah, man. We should have started like selling ivermectin or something.
Or video games. It should have been one of the. We didn't do either. We just kept doing the same thing.
A video game.
We didn't change a single thing. I love ivermectin. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you so much. I'm sorry you can't see my beautiful face.